Hear the word of God. Our reading for today comes from the New Testament, from the Acts of the Apostles, Acts chapter 5, reading from verse 27 to 32. Having brought the apostles, they made them appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name," he said. "Yet you filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Saviour, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Shall we pray? May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable to you, our Lord and our Redeemer. Amen. In many churches across Scotland and further afield today, congregations will be looking at the continuation of the Easter story as found in John's Gospel at chapter 20. That is part of the lectionary that we use. And while we haven't looked at that in our scripture reading, let me just tell you a wee bit about it, because it does tie in. John's Gospel, the passage that we would have perhaps looked at, tells the story of the first Easter evening, where the disciples were gathered together indoors. The doors were locked, and Jesus appears among them and says, "Peace be with you." He shows them his side. He shows them his hands. He breathes on them the Holy Spirit. But Thomas, famous doubting Thomas, who wasn't there, he missed it. And so when the disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord," he famously said, "Unless I put my hands, my fingers in the hands, or my hand in the side, I will not believe." Well, the friends were gathered together the following week, the first Sunday after Easter, in the same room, perhaps with the door still shut, and Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." I love when Jesus appears to frightened, confused people. The first thing he says is not, "Why are you frightened? Why are you confused?" The first thing he says is, "Peace be with you." Then he turns to Thomas. He says, "Put your finger here. Put your hand in my side. Do not doubt. Believe." And Thomas says, "My Lord and my God." How else could he? He's seen and touched the risen Lord. And Jesus responds to him, "You believe because you've seen me. Blessed are those who believe who have not yet seen me." And it's that belief, folks, that I want to concentrate or think about as we turn to the birth of the new church, as told by Acts of the Apostles. And in that short passage that we read today, we have a confrontation between the religious leaders and the new church. But there's more to it than just that conflict. The religious leaders had banned the disciples from speaking about Jesus or his message. They'd made it clear that they thought that getting rid of the man, they would have got rid of the message. But the disciples who had received the Holy Spirit, according to John, and certainly according to Acts by the time this happens, have received the gift of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, they're continuing to tell stories. They're preaching Jesus' word. And so they're brought together to stand almost in trial in front of the high council and the high priest. And the high priest questions them. We gave you strict instructions not to teach in his name. Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to bring this man's blood on us. And Peter, he says, but we must obey God rather than any human authority. And you know, folks, that's the bit I want to speak to you about this morning. All of the faith that we have, that we're blessed that we believe, even though we haven't seen and touched the risen Christ. We have that faith that we must obey God in our lives, in our way of life. But you know, I don't know how many times I've read the scriptures, and especially the story of the new church in Acts. And for some reason or other, I've just skipped over this bit. It perhaps says something about where we are in the world. And the bit I'm talking about is, the high priest says, we gave you instruction not to teach in his name. And then he goes on, yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and this is a bit now, and you are determined to bring this man's blood on us. In other words, you're blaming us for Jesus' death. You're telling everybody it's our fault. The leaders are not taking responsibility for what they have caused to happen. Maybe it's because I'm on edge with a lot of things over recent times, and the lack of people taking responsibility for their actions, or trying to shift the blame, that this means more to me today than perhaps it's done in past years. My heart is troubled by a rise of populist politicians who will say anything simply to be popular, who will say anything just because they think the audience wants to hear it, who will tell lies, who will tell falsehoods against others, and who will try and stop people from speaking the truth. In our very near history, recent history, we've had in the United States a president who continually told lies, in Donald Trump. A president who tried to divide a nation, and who's still trying to divide the nation while out of office, hoping that people will be crazy enough to vote him back in. And God, we pray that that won't happen. We've had in Russia just now the clamping down of anybody who would dare to not toe the party line. The high priests and the we told you not to teach, and Russia has told their people, this is what you will believe. No, we haven't invaded Ukraine. No, we haven't committed atrocities against civilians. They did it themselves. Believe us. Don't allow to believe anything else. We have China, where the internet is filtered so that only the state can have influence over people. And yes, folks, even the United Kingdom, what we sometimes, with arrogance, call the cradle of democracy, our democratic freedoms are being taken away by people with untruths, with questionable morals. It seems perfectly at ease now to tell lies and get away with it. And if you're caught, well, just say, oh, it doesn't really matter, there's something more important. And I'm fed up of it. Where is the morality? Where is the truth? Where is the trust? A recent poll I read, so many people didn't trust our politicians. And you and I know that the majority of politicians will be hard-working, truthful people, tarred by a few, and sadly tarred by leadership, who seem to think they can get away with anything. the Jewish leaders thought they could get away with anything. It wasn't us. We weren't the ones that killed Jesus. It was the Romans. They were the ones. Pilate executed him. They were trying to rewrite history only a short while after the execution. Was it not the Jewish authorities that arrested Jesus in the night, that tried him illegally, breaking down all of their normal systems? Was it not the Jewish authorities that took Jesus to be executed by Pilate simply because by Roman law they weren't allowed to do it? And yet, once Jesus had died, it wasn't us. We didn't do it. And how does Peter respond to the pressure trying to be put on him by the state, by the Jewish authorities? Peter says, we must obey God rather than any human authority. And then he goes right to the bone of the question. The God of our ancestors, and he's speaking to Jewish people, that's his ancestors and our ancestors, he's saying. He raised Jesus up, whom you, and he points the finger, you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at the right hand as leader and saviour, that he might give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. Then this is the final bit, and we are witnesses to these things. Folks, you and I today are witnesses to these things. We must obey God rather than be twisted and, well, I don't know exactly the word, I do know the word I want to use, but I can't use it, by people who are trying to hold on to power. You're trying to manipulate us. We must hold on to the truth. Remember Thomas, who I spoke about, with the doubting Thomas? When Jesus, before his arrest, was teaching, he talked about following his way. And Thomas said, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And you know, folks, that's for us is the thing. We must obey God and follow his way. The way of Christ, the way of the cross, the way of sacrifice, the way of love. We must speak his truth. Peter spoke truth to power in that assembly in front of the Jewish leaders. And we too must speak the truth in love, not out of vengeance or bitterness or anger, but in love. The truth that Jesus Christ lived and died and rose again and wants us to love our neighbour, not throw them to a foreign country to be processed in some unknown way. That we must follow his way, we must hear his truth, and we must live the life, that life of fellowship, that life together, that life that we are witnesses to of the kindness and love of God. On this first Sunday after Easter, as we still bask in the glow of the resurrection, let Jesus weigh truth and life impact on our lives, that we, as Peter said to the Jewish leaders, we are witnesses to these things. And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Amen. And thanks be to God for his word.